Joins us and Kevin, the Jets, man, they played rope-a-dope very well as the Oilers dominated for 51 minutes, and then the Jets decided, you know what, we'll show up and score 3 goals in 3 minutes, and that completely changed the game.
That would be a good way to describe that, rope-a-dope. I'm not sure that was the plan. I mean, you got to tip your hat to the Oilers, eh? Like, they really threw everything at them, and I'll tell you what, here's what surprised me the most, is you got McDavid and Draisaitl on the board on the first three goals. And I thought the biggest test for the Jets wasn't going to be, well, can they defend against the Oilers? Of course, that was the focal point. But I was wondering, what are they going to do when things don't go their way? Because then, you know, a fragile group finishing the regular season, how are they going to rebound? Will they have cemented enough of their habits late in that regular season to be able to fall back on something? That was the biggest test. And man, oh, man, I think it surprised everybody what a comeback. And that's a stuff for an exciting game four.
So is there, you can imagine there's a bit of discussion around the Archibald penalty. Did you think that it had as, I guess, did you think it was a penalty? And two, did you think it had as big as an impact, as some did, on the outcome of the Jets-Oilers game?
Well, first of all, I got, to me, it's a penalty without a question. But the suspension part of it, I'll be honest, I was like, wow. When I heard that he had a hearing, I thought, whoa, that raised my eyebrows a bit. I wasn't thinking that that was the way that would result. But as far as when you're down, and I feel like your team is trailing by three, you've got nothing to lose at that point, and you're looking for something to rally around, was that it? I don't know. To be honest with you, I guess it could have been. I'm not sure that sparked the bench and that got them going, all right, now we're going to try. But it was just, it put them on the power play, and for them to be able to convert on the power play, it sparked some energy there, some late belief. You know, they got a little bit of puck luck cashed in. So it was just a really bad time to put the Jets on the power play when the game was well in hand.
Oh, totally. Yeah, it was just. And the thing is, Archibald doesn't really play that way. He's physical, but it's not a guy who takes undisciplined penalties. And it cost him. And now the Jets, though, like, hey, Edmonton looked like a team. It was funny. You give up a power play goal, Kevin, it's still only 4-2. There wasn't a reason to have a big panic. Yet Edmonton panicked after that, and give the Jets credit. They took advantage, and, you know, Struds and I talked about it before. I said the return of Nick Ehlers would be bigger than the return of Pierre-Luc Dubois. And, you know, Nick Ehlers comes in, scores 2 goals, including the game winner on a great shot in overtime. Like, he's the Jets' most dangerous player 5-on-5, and that's a huge boost for them to get him back in this series.
100%. Like, he's one of the smaller guys on the team, but he has got snap to him. This is a competitive man, and when you're in the room, and of course we weren't there this year, but when you get to know him over the years, like, he is infectious. Like, the way that he plays and that energy that he brings on the ice, guys, he's got that in the locker room as well. So he would have injected a lot of energy. But 5-on-5 and on the power play, when he went down, the Jets' power play numbers went down with him. They fell off a cliff. And so not a shock to see him get a power play goal, a perfect shot on that goal from him. And just, I mean, he changes the way teams defend against you. And to me, it isn't the speed, it's the change of speed. Man, he can back you off, cut to the middle of the ice, and create a dangerous opportunity for himself or for line mates. You're right. Getting him back, I wasn't sure that he'd be able to find his stride as quickly as he did, missing that type of, you know, 11 games plus it's the playoffs. Man, oh, man, that was a huge, impactful return.
Joined by Winnipeg Jets analyst Kevin Sawyer. The Oilers take them on tonight in what's a must-win game, basically for the rest of the year for them. Logan Stanley, are you surprised at the physical aspect he's bringing to this series?
You know what surprised me the most about Logan is I just assumed that that's who he was when he came out of training camp. You don't know much of ton about the guy. You only see him in camp the first few years. But what he is known for is his ability to move the puck. And early in the year, he earned a lot of trust from Paul Maurice by just doing that, putting the puck into the hands of Wheeler, Scheifele, and alike. And I always was kind of saying to myself, he's 6'7". Like, when's he going to start to kind of overpower his opponents? That's something that he's kind of learned to do a little bit at this level. It's not who he is. It surprised me. But that part of his game is growing. Like, to me, he picks really good times to be physical. I think it's important that he doesn't run around and try to hit, because big guys like that aren't the quickest, and to recover from a lunge or trying to, you lose positioning from being physical, it's hard to recover from. Studs, you would know that, and he's a really intelligent guy. another thing that a lot of people don't know is, for whatever reason, a young guy comes in, he's a rookie, he's really well respected. They love him in the room. He's got a voice, although it's not the voice. He's got a presence in there, and guys in that locker room want to see him succeed. I think that he's physical without having to be physical. That big presence of his body, I think it changes the way other teams and other players play against them. They don't have guys like that. They haven't had anybody like that in a couple of years since Bufflin left. It's a big part of who they're going to be moving forward.
You know, when I look at Logan Stanley and I look at his kind of his career trajectory, he was a first round pick, so that's a little bit different. But you look at Sedano Chara, and I'm not saying he's going to be Sedano Chara because Chara was 6'9", but Logan Stanley is 6'7", he's 228 pounds, he's only played 37 NHL games. You know, Chara had played almost 200 games with the Islanders, then he went to Ottawa before he finally got in the postseason, and then he just became a force after that. And like, do you think Stanley has, you know, and because he did score his last year in junior, the guy had 42 points, including 15 goals. Like, you know, do you think he's got some offense in his game down the road?
Yeah, you know what stands out is, like, he's got a, you check out his stats and the shots that he has on net and then the shot attempts, he's exceptionally good at getting the puck to the net or getting the puck to a dangerous area. Very, very rarely will you see a shot blocked from off of Logan Stanley's stick. So the way that he moves the puck, I would rather have a guy that's 6'7", 230 pounds, that shows that he has the ability and a little bit of a mean streak. I would rather develop that part of his game, that physical part of his game, versus try to develop a big man like that. Can he skate? Can he make a play? Can he think the game? He's proven that he can skate. He can move the puck. He can think the game. He can get the puck to the net at the right times. That's only going to get better. And he's shown he's dropped the gloves a couple of times this year. He's been physical at the right times. I think this guy could be a superstar at some point down the road. This is just his first year, and he does more than fit in. Confidence is growing by the day.
Tom, with Kevin Sawyer, getting you set up for the Oilers and the Jets, who go tonight for Game 4, a must-win for the Edmonton Oilers. So it's the depth of the Jets up front with what they're doing, those nine forwards. Do you think their confidence is growing now? Because it's such a tough stretch, you know, post-break, post-trade deadline to the end of the season.
Yeah, you know what? That mess that they went through at the end of the regular season, that could have gone two different ways, and you saw a group that was fairly confident offensively turn into a fragile group, and what was perceived as their strength, who they are and how they beat teams scoring goals, their top nine, kind of evaporated. And Paul Maurice said it calmly all along, although you never want to lose games, he felt like there was a silver lining, and it was a need for them to feel the lack of offense, because that's what it's like in the regular season. It forced them to defend in a different way. Quite frankly, it forced them to defend properly. And I think that they've embraced the fact that, hey, they're F3 guys. They're escaping that offensive zone. They're sacrificing a ton of offensive chances, and they're trusting in their game. And that's something that we saw them do a lot late in the year, where they changed their game when they got down, and that didn't turn out to be good for them. So they're proving to themselves and to the hockey world that they don't have to beat teams 5-4, 4-0, 4-1. They can defend, and they have to defend to be successful. And now that top nine group that used to win them games has bought into a different way of playing, and they can't win without it.
Kevin Sawyer joins us, analyst for the Winnipeg Jets. No lineup changes for the Jets. And obviously with Ehlers and Dubois now, I think the Jets, this is kind of what they roll with. They're going to like it. You know, Edmonton did what they wanted for the first 51 minutes, and that game was really kind of in control, and then it completely fell off the cliff for them. So what's the concern for the Jets? What did you see? What allowed McDavid and Draisaitl to get going? And then even, you know, Edmonton's depth guys in Kassian and Kara that Winnipeg will try to adjust to tonight.
Well, you know, the one goal that stood out for me was the 3-on-2 rush where it was the Draisaitl pass to Zach Kassian. That play, that was the exact play, and those types of play is what got the Jets in trouble. So that rush defense or the odd man rush turns into a grade A chance or a goal almost every single time. And I thought to myself, uh-oh, if that continues for the Jets, this is going to turn into a series awfully quick. I think that they recognized what had happened there. and they recognize that they can't play that way if they want to have a chance to play. It's funny also, like, one thing that I noticed is that sometimes when you're chasing a game and you're down by three goals, two goals, your eyes widen up like beach balls and you're kind of wondering what's happening. I never saw that with the Jets. It didn't feel like their confidence really swayed. And as a matter of fact, they were getting some grade A chances. Both sides were. Smith was fantastic. And it almost felt like Edmonton knew that something was bad was about to happen before it did. And a lot of it, I thought, had to do with the fact that the Jets actually exuded a lot of confidence. And again, back to them playing the same way, trying to create the same type of chances. They made some mistakes defensively. I thought they took care of that. But again, we always say it. You know that the other team is going to get their chances, particularly Draisaitl, McDavid. They did. They capitalized. And what was key is the Jets were not trying to get those goals back in the next shift. They just stayed to their form.
Kev, quickly, of all the other series, which one has stood out to you the most and why?
You know what? Last year, the Colorado Avalanche, like, I thought to myself and wondered, like, how long before these guys become a powerhouse that nobody can contain? And you know what? Like, whether it was the toughest opponent or not, I got my eye on that group where you got McKinnon, who with Rantanen and Landeskog seemed like they're an unstoppable line. Makar on the back end. They just seem to have the right blend. They're coached by Jared Bednar. That group seems to have bought it. They're fast, they're physical, they have a sense of belief. They've had some experience and some failures in the postseason as of late, and they seem like a club here that is doing nothing but gaining momentum. I think that they believe that they can be a Stanley Cup champion. I remember being in the locker room last year, and I was talking to Landeskog, and his answers were all based around a Stanley Cup. Those guys have been thinking about winning a cup now for a handful of years. Sure seems to me like they got the pieces and the belief to do just that. That's an exciting team to watch.
Well, enjoy the game tonight, Kev, and the rest of the series, if there is one, or if this is the end of it, and then Winnipeg will wait to see who wins between Toronto and Montreal. Always good to have you. Talk to you again soon.
Right on, fellas. Thanks for having me, as always.